phone and stuff.
Xbox, yeah. Yeah, a good little RPG if you like your kind of old school RPG type games. Yeah, I really enjoyed it on Mega Drive. I think I lost a bit of, I don't know. It always felt like a Dreamcast port for me was unnecessary. But it was a good game. So yeah, not unsurprising to see it on the list here. 161. Then it's a game called Karuus.
Karuus.
Karuus. Thanks. Which is another sort of, it's a vertical site, vertical shooter, I believe.
Yeah, one of the Milestone games.
So bang bang, shooty shooty. 160th on the list is Ready to Rumble Boxing Round 2. I think everyone had moved on by the time round two came out, had they not? Round one was a great game. The first game was a great one. Really, I always thought this game was quite synonymous with Dreamcast's launch, even though it was on other consoles as well afterwards. I always felt like this was really one of the kind of the almost the showpieces, certainly in PAL territories of Dreamcast. I don't know if you guys remember when the demo pods were set up in like all the cinemas and Toys R Us and stuff. Ready to Rumble was one of the demos that was on the setups, and I don't know. Yeah. I always saw it and thought Dreamcast instantly when I saw that game.
The visuals were really sort of spectacular for the time, weren't they? It was like, what? It looks like a playable cartoon. I mean, it still looks good now, to be honest.
It does.
If you can get it, you know, if you can get it running on a CRT or something, or you know. But yeah, like I say, it was always running in the demo pods in like game or whatever in the doorway. And if you walk past and you saw it, you'd be like, wow, what's that? You know, that's really something that would attract you in, you know.
Yeah. Giant Grand 2000. I know that series a lot of people enjoy playing, so not surprised to see that. Fleugen Brothers, Episode 1. Always find it amusing they called it Episode 1, given that they obviously had plans for a whole series of those. And never did. It was, interestingly, I bought this copy sealed off eBay a couple of years ago, and it was like insanely cheap. And it was one of those ones that I can almost guarantee they drastically overproduced the amount of games that ultimately didn't sell. Because this along with Metropolis Street Racer and Virtua Fighter were some of the most popular sealed PAL Dreamcast games on eBay for years that I remember. Quite a good little game, though. I don't know if you guys have played it.
Enjoyable. Again, it's got really good graphics. It's a very, very good-looking game. But I don't know, there's something about the main characters that just never really... I didn't really gel with it.
They're not memorable, are they?
No, it's got good voice acting as well, but I didn't really like it, to be honest.
Incoming. Is Incoming at 156 on the charts. See what I did there, Tom? Just for you.
I did, yeah. That's very good, that.
pretty forgettable shooter, I think it's fair to say. Revolt, you mentioned this one earlier, Tom. So Revolt's in 155. I loved this game. I loved the demo. I played the demo to death. Loved the full game as well. I thought the tracks were really cool. I just thought it just felt really right. You know, sometimes they try and make radio-controlled car games or things like that, and the scale just feels completely off, and I just thought they did a really good job in this of making them really feel like radio-controlled cars.
Agree. Yeah, I played it first on the N64, and then when the Dreamcast version came out, I got this because it's almost like a remastered version, better visuals. I think there's a new track as well, and there's a new environment, which is the rooftops of the of some tenement buildings, which you race across. One thing I do like about Revolt is that the tracks are all quite memorable, the environment, so the museum in particular with its nice shiny floors and big sort of dinosaur skeletons and that kind of thing, and the planetarium that you go through, it kind of sticks in the memory. So it's a fun game, you know. As I said, I think I prefer Stunt GP, and I think the only thing they've got really connecting them is the fact that they've both got radio-controlled cars. It's a good game. I prefer Stunt GP, but definitely give Revolt a go if you... if you're in the, you know, in the, what was I trying to say? If you want to play some racing games, I don't know.
it's another one of those underrated ones for sure. I think definitely something that you should try and have a go at playing if you get a chance to. budget races then. 154 is Toy Racer, a bit of an oddity, I suppose, for a lot of people who are outside of the PAL regions. You may not have heard of this one. It is a budget game, as I just said, that was released. It was an online-only or multiplayer-only racing game that was released using the racing engine from Toy Commander, and was released for the bargain price of, I think it was £5 or £6.
I believe it was, yeah, it was £5, yeah.
A game I bought, and this is probably my most, from back in the day anyway, this is probably the game I spent most hours playing online back in the day, and it's just literally four cars racing in Mario Kart style racing online. So, yeah, surprised to see this actually in the chart at all, let alone as high as 154, although I suspect the resurgence of online Dreamcast gaming has possibly impacted that, given that this is one of the more commonly played Dreamcast games. So yeah, good to see that one in here. Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare. This is another one that I think is often forgotten about on Dreamcast. Is this one of up your street, Mike? This seems like something you'd be playing.
Yeah, it's a decent game. It's got some really interesting use of the torch, and interesting use of lighting in the game. It's probably a little bit forgettable when you put it alongside the Resident Evils at the time. Mm. But it's a decent return to form for the Alone in the Dark series at the time. It's a decent game.
I quite like the almost like Lovecraftian overtones of the story as well. That was very, very nice.
Yeah.
Next up, the 152nd is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure beat 'em up. I believe there's a new one coming out actually fairly soon on modern consoles, interestingly. And I just want to stop at 151, which is Half-Life. So the much touted Dreamcast game that never was. I think we heard about Half-Life more than almost any other Dreamcast game back in the day. Ultimately, for whatever reason, was never released on the console, even though it was arguably almost completely finished and ready to go. It was certainly very well desired by the Dreamcast community back in the day, and obviously subsequently, is it a completely finished version that was found, or is it something that the community sort of finished off, or what was the general?
Yeah, it's finished in so much as you can play it from beginning to end. There are still, in the version that I've played and actually have somewhere on a disc, there are a couple of issues with it. So there's a bug where the VMU file continues to grow the further you get into the game, and it basically fills up an entire memory card by the end. And there's a few little things like, you know, you get these like really long loading times in between sections where the game has to load the next bit of the map in. And I think that's one of the reasons that it was like, you know, deemed not good enough for release. There's obviously lots of stories as to why it never came out. Because I know that Dreamcast magazine in the UK actually reviewed it. I think they gave it something like 82% or something, if I remember right, at the top of my head. And they did cite those gripes with the games, so the loading and like, you know, some it's not quite as polished as it maybe could have been. But then obviously, if it had been spent a little bit more time in development, it could have those things could have been ironed out. I don't know. But yeah, it's completely playable from beginning to end, as far as I know.
I think it's interesting as well the fact that it opens up the world of Half-Life mods onto Dreamcast as well. So all of the Half-Life mods, even like the official add-ons like Opposing Force, which came out on the PC, are fully playable on Dreamcast. So it's loads of content. They Hunger, the Blue Shift, which is a Dreamcast extra, which was didn't come out in the end, but all those. Add-on, all those mods are available as well, which does open up the library quite significantly.
Yeah.
Who knows, if that game had come out, maybe they would have sold a few extra thousand Dreamcasts, we will see. Well, we won't see, because it ultimately never did, but yeah, if you want to play Half-Life on your Dreamcast, you can do that these days. 150 then is another oddity, which is Zuar's Bazaar. Or Zuzar, however you want to pronounce that, which is possibly one of the most bizarre racing games I've ever played in my entire life. Mike, do you want to give us the lowdown on this crazy chariot-inspired racing game?
Yeah, so basically Ben-Hur with large robotic animals pretty much sums up the game. It's completely bizarre. There's levels where you basically you have water, land, or air vehicles, obviously with appropriate animals pulling the chariots along, and the flying levels are have an interesting control mechanic. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Where you have to control each trigger controls one side of the pair. It's actually I actually quite like the game. I find it quite fun. I find it quite interesting. But only because of its oddity rather than sort of any actual gaming mastery.
Yeah, agreed. I quite enjoyed it for what it's worth as well, but
Yeah.
yes. Okay, 149 then is Alice Sisters, 148, another one I'm going to butcher, Musapi's Choco Marker. Had a little look at this one. Again, nothing I've played, and it just looks like a really, really vibrant color, colorful puzzle game where you have some blocks that you need to arrange in a certain order. I can hear someone Googling that right now.
I'm literally looking at it now, yeah.
147 is Flea. Mike, you mentioned Flea earlier on. Really good modern day take on a retro kind of platformers, Flappy Bird kind of meets Mario in some
Yeah.
weird kind of way. Good fun, and obviously that's another game that is available now from Wave as well in a lovely little packet. 146 is Draconis, Cult of the Worm, Wim, Rim, Wim.
This is another one
Dragon's
with
Blood.
a different, yeah, different name. Dragon's Blood, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Or the Impal.
Yep. 145 was Sega's response to Mario Party in the dreadful Sonic Shuffle. And I remember I never played this back in the day, but I was always thinking, like, how I don't understand how like this game can how a game like this can review so poorly. I just didn't really understand. I thought it looks really good. The mini games look really good. Mario Party is great. How are people reviewing this so badly? But luckily never played it. And I played it when I was older, and I was like, oh my God, I can totally understand why it reviewed so badly. If you've not played Sonic Shuffle, make sure you set aside a few hours if you go in to play it. I still can't really put a pin on why it's so bad. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, how do they mess up a board game so much? I just don't get it. It just doesn't, I still don't understand how to play the game.
I quite like Sonic Shuffle.
You play it, Mike. Can you find three other friends to play it with you, though? That's
Oh,
the big
no,
question.
absolutely not. But it's for what it is. I mean, I'm a big fan of things like, you know, Mario Party, Fusion Frenzy. I like those kind of like sort of mini games. Yeah, it's not as awful as some people have said it is. I think some people said it's the worst Sonic game. Obviously, you've got a very interesting take on the last 20 years of Sonic, but it's not awful.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far to say it's the worst Sonic game, but it's just
Can
dull.
I just say that that's probably the only time someone's mentioned Fusion Frenzy this year, probably on any podcast in the world.
Yeah,
Like,
hopefully. I love Fusion
blast from the
Frenzy, it's a
past.
great game.
Yeah.
144th is Wacky Races.
Oh, great game.
Disgraceful.
Why is it so good then, boys?
For me,
Well, it,
it's the ultimate 80s nostalgia kick as well. It's one of the best crafted. Lots of these sort of cartoon racing games off the back of Mario Kart, and this I think is one of the ones which captures the original, the essence of the original so well, even better than Looney Tunes did. It's just superb.
Yeah, I would echo that completely. And also, I think this represents Wacky Races for me represents the Dreamcast equivalent of something like Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah.
It's got a whole hub world with different races all set out in different environments, and you've got a, like it's almost like you've got a quest. You know, it's not just like a lot of races that you do one after the other. You've got to drive around and find keys to open up new bits of the map, and it's just so reminiscent of Diddy Kong Racing. It's just a fantastic game. It looks amazing as well. You know, it's
Yeah.
one of those sort of cel shaded style of graphics. Just pops really on the Dreamcast, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing about it having the hub world and stuff, very Diddy Kong-esque. This was another one of the games that I bought back in the day when it came out, and I always tend to mention that because I think it's, you know, when you're a young teenager, buying a game is a pretty significant investment. It's kind of, this is the game you're going to buy for the next 3 months before you can afford to buy another one. And Wacky Races was definitely one of my the better choices of games that I bought. It's really enjoyable racing game. I unlike you, Mike, I had no nostalgia for the origin material at all, and still really love this game. But I was a huge Mario Kart fan, Diddy Kong Racing fan at the time, and that was really what inspired me to get it more than anything. And I thought that it was just really well implemented. Another bloody hard game though, from memory. It wasn't a walk in the park. Like Mario Kart, it was really difficult, but good track variety. Definitely a game that doesn't get talked about enough. Again, I think I feel like, whether it's because more and more people are talking about Dreamcast now, and they're probably less of hardcore fans as we are, but I just feel like, you know, every time you see Dreamcast mentioned on Twitter or whatever, it's talking about the games that we're probably going to talk about in the next part of this episode, when we're talking about the top 100, you know, or your kind of Sega rallies and your Crazy Taxis and everything else. And there's just so many amazing games like this, which, you know, I just don't think get talked about anywhere near enough when it comes to the sort of flagship games on the console. And
Don't they have a copy of this in the National Motor Museum at Bewley?
I was just going to mention that they do indeed. So it's a bit of background for everyone here. So Tom was at Bewley at the National Motor History Museum, sent a message in the group saying, "Oh, there's some cool stuff here," and I was actually going there myself the next day. And when I got there, I saw a copy of Wacky Races in a glass cabinet on the Dreamcast, and I said, "Tom, I'm surprised you couldn't sniff that out when you went in there the first time." So yes,
are we sure Tom didn't plant it there?
Maybe he did. I put a copy of Spirit of Speed next to
it, of course,
in
the
bin.
Speaking of random places to see Dreamcast games, I remember a few years ago I was in Portsmouth, and I think it was the O'Neill shop, like, you know, where they sell like sort of skateboarding and surfing dude type clothing. And in the middle, on this like display, there was a big stack of completely sealed copies of what's the surfboarding game on the Dreamcast?
Championship Surfer.
There's just like about a stack of about 20 of them just on this like display. They weren't for sale, they were just part of the display. Like,
So
where do you get
random.
20 copies of that sealed? You know, bizarre. But yeah. Anyway, sorry, back to the actual point of
How
the
much
podcast.
are they going for now? Just checking eBay. £50.
Really?
£50. That's not sealed though.
Wow.
For what? Championship
Championship
Surfer?
Surfer sealed, yeah.
Get for 10, I think.
No, not sealed.
I don't know.
There is
you never
none.
know.
There's no Dreamcast sealed copies on eBay, just PlayStation 1 copies.
Josh Pod got them all, probably.
Yeah, probably. Hoarding them all up to drive the prices up.
I will say this was probably in about 2008 or something. It was a long time ago.
All right, then, moving on. 140/30 is Gun Lord. 142nd is Wind and Water Puzzle Battle, another good little indie title there.
Yeah, great music.
Yep. 141 is Worms Armageddon, poor man's World War Party in my eyes. 140 is Guilty Gear X. And 139, one I think just to mention a few words on, is Star Lancer. Again, a game I don't think many people talk about when they talk about Dreamcast, but I kind of rediscovered this game since the online servers came back up and started playing it online a bit. Really good fun if you've got a few of you on playing this, but I actually started playing the campaign quite a bit as well, and yeah, I found it really, really enjoyable. I don't know if you guys have had any experience with this one, but lots of variety in this, and the multiplayer is really, really good fun if you've got a good few people on there.
Yeah, I know our colleague Brian is a big fan of this game. He mentions it at least once a week in our group chat. But yeah, same as you, James. I think it's a really good game. It's got a really good solid single player campaign. And as you mentioned, the online servers are now back on as well, so that's cool. I just remember it just playing like a really nice, it's almost like an episode of Star Trek or something, do you know what I mean? It's
Yeah, you could
really good
see.
campaign story.
You could see it was heavily inspired by like the Wing Commander series and stuff with the way
Yeah.
the kind of